Hey guys, and welcome to episode 51 of Dad Knows Best, a show with a couple of daddy-os, three kids between us, and a whole host of banter. I'm working on that intro, guys. I'm working on it. I am Harrison Mudge, one of your hosts, co-hosts. I'm out of practice because we didn't do a show last week, obviously. To my right, Adam Callow, father of three, two, one.
How do you get so bad at this after just 1 week?
I'm a creature of habit. If I don't do something within like 7 days, it's like I've never done it
in
before.
Future, even if we don't record, come and practice. Just come and just do the intro. So you don't have to put these lovely people watching on the YouTubes.
Sorry I'm shuffling, by the way, because the arm of this chair is catching the bottom of this mic.
Don't get me started with these. I've got this thing down here that stops me from pulling in closer.
I know, this table's like a banana.
It's rustic. That's how they sold it to me. It's fucking rustic. And it's character. It's not smooth, it's character. That's what they tell me. The fact fucking family built it is another story.
It's like when you go into an antique shop and it's just like an absolute nail of a chair that's just they found in a skip somewhere. So it's an 1800s chair. It's got character.
Hey, chair people will be like, it is an 1800s chair. It has got character.
That is there's an original.
You're just uneducated in the chair space.
It's
that's
an original 1930s IKEA.
What are we talking about, mate?
Well, today, so quick update on the baby, actually. I spoke, like 2 weeks ago now, did a solo show. Have you listened to it?
Nah.
Have you watched it?
Nah.
Okay, I'll give you 20 minutes. Go watch it.
No. So it's on my watch later on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Because I think that probably one of the best places to consume it. What I'm saying is like, we love podcasts.
For anyone
we run a podcast network, but for someone to get the most of you, I think YouTube is the way.
Yes.
Because I think you're undervalued from a social perspective. I think you're really getting into your character. I'm enjoying it.
I think what you're actually saying is I don't come across well on audio only. You need to see the visuals to really appreciate.
You do need to see the visuals, yeah. I'm better on audio. I know that. Just audio, no video, much happier. You're a video guy. So
well, I appreciate that.
Head over to
face
YouTube.
Face for video.
Face for video. Yeah. Yeah, it's a compliment, right? Yeah.
So yeah, head over to YouTube.
Ooh. Whoa.
See, I just knocked my
and if
iPad.
You're just listening, you have no idea what's happened. I rest my case.
Honestly, we've just recorded another podcast and everything went swimmingly. I don't know why everything's literally
fucking
gone
to shit.
Shit
when we hit this show. Okay, what are we doing?
Right, I'm going to keep my hands in a safe place.
Baby update.
So crawling is really kicking in now. He's just everywhere. He's fast. Mm-hmm. Fast. Like, it's amazing. I said it on the previous show, like pivoting. You can like a baby's length in a pivot doesn't sound like a lot, but it's the difference between like being in a safe zone and then all of a sudden he's hanging off a cupboard and there's like delicate things. And that
if
was
you
your
were watching, you'd know what just happened.
Adam just fell through the floor.
You baby-proofed the house yet?
No, that is on the to-do list.
Hopefully a bit of a priority.
It's really scary because, and I don't know if anyone else's house is like this, but like it's like we subconsciously think, okay, as an adult, let me put all the dangerous stuff waist level and down. So like all the bleachers, all the big, heavy, sharp objects and things like that are just all in reach of a child that is mobile.
Well, yeah, we don't think about that stuff until we've got a kid that grabs the knife.
But there's not enough shelves higher up. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a real issue because, like, where do I put my bleach now? Where do I put the washing powder?
Well, you get those little things that you stick on the doors that make it baby-proof to open.
Yeah.
That's the stuff. You're going to end up with all these little clips.
Is it bad? Oh, my eyelid. Is it bad that everything's going wrong today? Is it bad, though, that I look at those and think, I don't want them on my cupboards, man?
No, it's not bad because we didn't get them, to be honest. They look damn ugly and they're a pain. And when you go
on
to go into the cupboard.
And they stick on as well, right? Yeah. And like they'll stick on with that good sticky shit, that 3M stuff that just doesn't come off.
I'm sure they've got one. I try not to carry on. I remembered that you don't edit the show. Oh my God. I nearly looked at you and went, sorry, Alary, because in the other show I can yawn and you'll edit it. This one, no such benefit. I was like, fuck.
We go
stop
in. I mean, if something went horribly wrong, I would edit the show, but I like to. I need. The thing is, this will go live because. Otherwise, it'll have been 2 weeks before a show's gone out.
Okay,
so,
yeah, cool.
So just by the fact that I need to stay consistent, it means that everyone's going to see everything that's happened today.
On the YouTubes.
So let's...
I'm sure they do ones that don't stick and bits like that. It's just, I know it's a faff, but do you know what's a bigger faff? Buying new cupboards, sticking them on a wall, and then moving your bleach up to that.
Oh, I thought you were going to go serious and go, what's more of a faff is taking your child to A&E after his guzzled gallon?
I didn't want to say that.
It was implied, I guess.
A little bit. You said it for me.
Anyway, let's
but
try.
Al's moving.
Yeah, he's moving. Okay. And I think, I'm trying to think where I put it. I'm not sure if I put it in. I either put it in the podcast episode where I was talking about it, or it was on a playmat video that I did, but I showed the footage of his very first bit where he starts crawling, and from what was very sort of shaky is now like it's amazing how a daily basis the English language is getting away from me today, on a daily basis how much they progress,
yeah.
Like motor skills wise, like it goes from like sort of kind of crawling to all of a sudden now he can crawl as long as he wants to. And because he was already, if you lifted him and held him, he'd already stand, right? And mm-hmm. like hold his weight, but obviously couldn't get there before. Now, he's already pulling himself up on the sofa. And Dan, who was in the office on Tuesday, he was saying one of his kids was walking by like, I think like 9 months.
It's crazy.
So, and Elliot's just turned 9 months. So, I'm probably going to go home tonight and he'll meet me at the door.
Hi, Dad.
So, son, why have you been to work? Why are you in a suit? Dear.
You watch Boss Baby?
I do, yeah.
I like Boss Baby.
Have you watched the series on Netflix?
I watched
as well.
It all, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, on loop in our house. Honestly, I come out every morning.
The only issue, what's the term I'm looking for? The juxtaposition. I don't think that's quite the right word. Basically, when you watch the film, it's Alec Baldwin,
mm-hmm.
but when you watch the series, it's obviously not. So it was just a bit jarring initially to go from one voice to another because he's trying to imitate.
Yeah, he's trying to emulate it a bit. But when you have it on loop, I don't think
you
my kids
get
are
used to it.
Yeah, it could be anything right now.
Yeah. See, we have Paw Patrol on.
Fuck that.
Mm.
Fuck Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
Unless you want to sponsor the podcast. We love you. Advertising is such a fickle game.
Yeah, so kind of nothing else, but I didn't realize how quick they will walk
mm-hmm.
from crawling. We were watching Babies on Netflix as well. It's a docu-series about babies and the first days, developing, learn to crawl, learn to walk. And you see the moment where some different kids learn to walk, that moment where they just like are on one ledge and they just look over and then they just take some steps and then move across and all of a sudden they've got it. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That'll just happen one
just
day.
Just learning machines at that age,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, terrifying. Anyway, so that was just a quick update on the old Bambina. But last time I did, on the last episode of Dad Knows Best, I spoke about a book. And we've spoke about this book as well, The 60 Minute Father.
It's a real book.
I finally got round to reading it. So I had it, I've had it for, 2 weeks. I've had it for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read it last night.
Brad, in one sitting.
In one sitting. So that's a testament. I mean, for anyone that's watching, they can see it's not a thick book. It's like 90 pages. And it's... And interestingly as well, so I just wanted to kind of have a chat about that because I know you've read it as well, right?
Yes.
So like I assumed in the previous podcast, it was just kind of, the gist is like maximizing your time with the kid. And interestingly enough, from conversations we've had and obviously kind of learning from lessons that you've learned and mm-hmm. situations that you've been in and how you've realized, oh no, I'm changing certain things. So I've learned a lot from you already, which are, I assume, actions that you took away from this book mm-hmm. or just things you figured out yourself. I'm kind of ticking, or I found that I was ticking a lot of the boxes that it's talking about, at least on a scale of 1 to 10, at least a 5 or mm-hmm. or a bit better, which is positive. But something that actually so I won't go into every single thing that goes on there, but it's just things like it's easy to trick yourself, like, oh, we'll do it tomorrow and mm-hmm. things like that with them, and just like try and seize the opportunity you get with them now, because obviously kids growing up, like we're saying, kids are growing up so fast. Elliot was this thing that couldn't move unless you held him, mm-hmm. and now when you hold him, he's trying to crawl off
away.
Of you.
Yeah,
and like, even that, I know he's only trying to crawl to go and get something because he's interested, but it's quite a, it's a little bit emotionally like upsetting, in the sense that, like, wow, he's, I'm holding you from falling, and yet you're willing to just crawl over my shoulder and try and reach for a light bulb.
Yeah, it's the first little bit thing of independence in the child. Yeah. That's what you're seeing.
And like, that is,
and that grows very quickly.
And being aware from what the book said and things like that, and being aware of that makes you realize, oh, wow, this is like, this is just a taster. This is how I feel about him not wanting to be held right mm-hmm. now. That in, if I don't try and make the most of it now, I will definitely, I can see how you can look back and think, fucking hell, what, like, it was so easy to just do something. Why didn't we do it? So some of the things I'm already kind of conscious about, which I'm happy about.
What was the stuff in here that you weren't consciously thinking about that you now will implement?
So some things I've not necessarily been able to do
yet. A lot of pages folded in here.
So it's cool because there's different goals. There's 10 goals.
Yep.
And then they give you some examples of scenarios of different parents, and how, like, they made a mistake, or how you can prevent that mistake from happening and achieve a goal. The action points are things to consider, and then there's even like a 60-second wrap up of mm-hmm. like just some little one-liners that sum the whole section up. So I feel like I'm kind of consciously aware, maybe not actively trying to achieve mm-hmm. all of the goals, but consciously aware of some of them. Some I can't do right now because it's like, if your kid wants to talk to you or play with you, make sure you're 100% focused on it. And I'm kind of doing yep. that with Elliot while he's rolling around and stuff, but he's not super interactive with me as a person so mm-hmm. much as the thing that I'm moving in front of him, whatever. So that one will evolve as he gets a bit older. But the one thing that really kind of made me stop and think, oh shit, I need to actually really think about that. And it's not as parent focused necessarily, mm-hmm. but it was, I'm trying to think which one it was. I'm sure you could find it. But it was about the idea of, so what the main thing that really hit me is when it said, it's very easy to be busy. Mm-hmm. And we all, for some reason, have a habit of making ourselves busy for busy's sake. And like, there's an example of like, oh, I've got so much on today. I've just like so much to do. And we joke in the office about, I'm so slammed and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And
I'm like, show me a to-do list, and this is a bit of paper.
And I'm like, well, I've just figured out. And one of the examples it has is like this some guy, John, who's mm-hmm. Who's put off a report that should have been done like 2 weeks ago. He's procrastinated and put it off. And funnily, I was speaking to Sam actually about procrastination. So it's all kind of hit home at the same time. So he put this report off and then could have done it in the morning on the last day it needed to be done for the deadline. Didn't do it in the morning because he allowed other things in the day to get in the way. And then he had to pull an all-nighter in the evening, cancel on a thing with the family, and complained that he'd been so busy all day. When in actual fact, he hasn't. He just didn't optimize his time and prioritize. Then it compares it to George Bush, president of America at the time, was up at 4, was at some summits and things like this, doing all these meetings, was here, there, and everywhere, and then was home for dinner with his wife and playing golf
yep.
in the evening. And it was like, which of the two were busier? It's not quite clear cut to say one was necessarily any busier than the other, but it's sometimes about organization and prioritizing what is important, because you can just, we talk about it a lot on a different, on our other show, but you can be a task monkey and do a lot of things in a day, but if you've not achieved what you're trying to achieve, you can just kind of work and work and work, and then there's
busy full.
There's no, and interestingly, there's no deadline when that happens either, because all these things just need to be done, and then you end up just like thinking, well, I'm just going to stay late and get all these things done. But there's no, like, it's just like a nebulous deadline. So I realized, and I urge anyone that, I urge everyone to actually give it a read, because it's quite an interesting book. It, like I say, it's super quick to read through. But for me, it made me think that I need to rethink my week, because I kind of got into a subconscious routine thinking that I'm doing everything in the week and then spending the weekend with the family, which I am doing, which is great. But that's a very black and white divide of Monday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What I realized that I actually need to do is I need to get a bit more granular on a daily basis, because I think I can still do everything I need to do, but better prioritize the hours of the day that I operate within. So one of the things I personally probably need to do more of is plan ahead, for example, either on a Sunday, plan my week, or at least in the morning, spend more time what are the key things getting done. So that, for example, I leave at 5 without fail, get home for 5:30 and have the evening. And then I could, in theory, do the same amount of work in the evening after the kids gone bed and just get that done at home. And it was, you'll have to read it, but one of the sentences in there was about just that. It's like, for some reason, we're a culture of just like putting the hours in at work, just being busy for busy's sake. But really, like, have you achieved what you needed to achieve? And I was like, yeah, sometimes I'm doing a lot, and then
we think a lot of input and not output.
Yeah, and the worst,
I guess that's one of the key things, is we think, I guess we're trained to go, and guilt kicks in as well. It's like, I need to be busy. Because we're trained to be busy, to provide, and we tell ourselves all these narratives, and then we think, oh no, but I can't. And this is a big learning for me from the book. And if you look at, from what you just said about organizing your day, you see my calendar, like.
Yeah.
And that's not an OCD thing. That's from a prioritization point of view to what you say, it's what stuff I'm going to put in my calendar that's like non-negotiable. So 30 minutes with both my boys in the morning and work out. Did that since COVID kicked in. Used to, well, still do, have 30 minutes or 20 minute phone call with the boys. If I'm away, wherever I am in the world, I'd have a non-negotiable bit of time where I'd call the boys up and say goodnight. So wherever I was, meetings, whatever, I'd always step out of whatever I'm doing and say goodnight to the boys. And that came from that, because it's sort of like, on a Sunday night, prioritize your week, what's important to you. And what happens, it's like gas in a room. It's like when you put gas in a room, it'll expand to fill the time. So you have to put these constraints in, and you'll naturally just get more stuff done. Stop all the procrastination, and you'll be more efficient, because you actually, I'm with the boys in the morning and I've got to get back for 4 o'clock to do this with the family. And when you start to put these non-negotiable bits, I call them non-negotiables, so like put them in your calendar, it's weird how everything else falls into place. And then you prioritize stuff as well. Yeah. You get much better at that.
And for me, the main thing as well is, and it was so funny, because on Tuesday, I was literally, I can't remember even how the conversation came up, but I was speaking to Sam about procrastination. And like, that is what that ends up being is self-inflicted busyness, right? Because you keep putting something off to the point where you can't anymore. But if you're not careful, and this is what the book was trying to say, is that if you're not careful, you'll end up spoiling missing out on something very important that was really, if you look back, it's probably your own fault for missing it.
Yeah, because you could have avoided it.
You created a non-negotiable that overlapped with a kid's school play, for example.
Yeah.
Whereas if you'd have just got that done 2 days earlier, you wouldn't have had to have stayed late. And that for me, like, isn't really an issue right now, but I realize that there are sometimes situations where I'm like, oh, I've got to do this now. Because admittedly, maybe some of it's down to lack of motivation, that it's only when it's down to the wire will I get it done, because I will get it done. Like, I always make sure that I deliver. But and it's like been school reports as well, could try harder. But yeah, I just need to be a bit more proactive to make sure that I don't allow, I don't force this busyness to rule my life. Because I think that, it's weird because it's almost like one of them catch 22, well, not catch 22, but it kind of, it's a bit of a circle because I don't necessarily have non-negotiables in the calendar, well, I've then got a free calendar to allow this busyness or allow this procrastination to push things back because I've got nothing else to do tonight, for example. So I can stay up all night and I can finish this task because I've got nothing else to do. Whereas if I actually said, well, no, because I have to make sure I leave the office by 5 because we've got family time and dinner and then kid goes to bed and then I go to the gym in the evening and then I can do some work, that if that was hard booked out in the calendar, maybe I'll think, well, shit, I've only got like 2 hours in the evening for the next 3 days for me to finish that project. Maybe I need to make sure that I get it done ahead of time because otherwise I'm having a late night.
Yeah. So that having those non-negotiable calendar for me, give you constraints to work to, which is healthy. Because without that, like you say, on a daily basis, you are letting people down, whether it's letting work down, letting yourself down, letting your family down, because you're trying to juggle too many things. And my biggest failure in the past was, still a bit now, saying yes without thinking it through. Yeah, I'll do that for you. Did it the other day with Joe from GH. I was like, yeah, I'll do that, not a problem. And I got off the phone, I was like, I've just said yes casually, and it's an hour and a half's work.
Yeah.
I don't fucking have that time to just support that thing.
And again, literally, in the example, it does. I found the spot. The guy's called Joe. And the example is someone pops their head in the office and say, "Oh, can you help me with this?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, sure." He shouldn't have said yes, but whenever and one of the things it says is like whenever someone says, "Can I borrow you for 5?" or "Could you help with this?" They're stealing your time, right? They're interrupting your workflow. Yep. So I need to get. There's like a bunch of things. Weirdly, that was the biggest thing I took away from the whole book. But that's, I need to like get better at planning out my day, locking in non-negotiables in the calendar, like you say. And also in that example of like people asking for things, I think that the easiest thing is just say, can you put it in my inbox? Because then you can tackle it in your own time. If you go, cool, yeah, let me stop what I'm doing. Let me just completely pull myself out of flow and you tell me what you want. Mm-hmm. It's not your fault. You've just come over and asked a question, right? But if you don't create that barrier or boundary with other people, it's kind of your own fault that
I think the first stage is send me an inbox. I'll look at it when I can get to it. Mm-hmm. And if I go, no, I actually need it now. The phrase that I'm trying to use more is I would love to, but... Mm-hmm. Like, hey, can you help me with this? Joe on the call the other day, could you do this for me? Joe, I would love to, but if I say yes to you, I've got to let this other person down and I've already made that commitment. You know I would love to, but right now I can't. So I can't say yes. There's these little tools and hacks. I guess a takeaway from the book for me was one of the big things was kidding yourself a little bit in terms of what you think matters. So... yeah, I want to provide for my kids. Like, I'm going to work hard now so when they're 15, they're 18, they're 21, they're whatever, I can build enough, air quotes, success to provide the lifestyle I want for them. And it was like, well, when you get older and you look back, are your kids going to remember that they got a PlayStation 7 for their birthday? Maybe. When they say what really matters, when they're 35, 45, 60 years old, they go... fucking, I went camping with dad and when we were together, it was priceless and he focused on me. Or we had this weird tradition where he'd come in at night and he'd be the tickle monster when I was a kid. Like, these things are the memories. And when I read it, I was like, oh, that hurts a little bit because I'm sort of like saying, I'm using that as an excuse, I think, in my head. I don't think there's any...
Yeah, it says about like, we seem to, we live in an age where we value... gifts. So like, here you go, son, here's this thing, it might be the new PlayStation, whatever, wicked. But when they grow up, they won't remember the gifts that you used to get. They'll remember dad used to buy me something because he was going away, or whatever that dynamic is.
Yeah. And when you think about what you can spend your money on, like money, we can, this is the thing for me, is we can make more money, we can lose money, we can, money is this commodity. Mm. You spend time, you ain't getting it back.
Yeah.
Like, you never get it back. So I was like, okay, cool. And it really hits home with me because Reggie is, even now, so it's happening this week, happened yesterday morning. He would ask me and say, Daddy, can I show you this? And he's asking me while I'm in the middle of something or doing something. And I've gotten the habit of, like, I keep saying, not a problem, Reggie, in a minute. Mm-hmm. And he's so polite and so kind-hearted. And I noticed the other day his bottom lip went. So he's just like, and I realise that what's happening is when Riley needs my attention to help him with his laptop or whatever he's doing, I kind of jump up and do it because I don't, well, I actually don't know why I do that. And I think Reggie's sort of like, why aren't you giving me that time? And it's these subconscious little actions that I don't realise I'm doing. And I guess it's because what Reggie's trying to show me, he's just trying to show me, he doesn't need me to do something or fix something for him. Riley needs my help, whether it's on coding or whether it's setting his laptop up. So I'm like, oh, he can't carry on until I help, so I'll help him. But he's just trying to show me a character on a Lego game. I'm like, cool, Reggie, give me 5 minutes, I'll be with you. So I'm still trying to get that back in because it's like these tiny little micro things that will build up and it will sort of like suggest to him what's important. So now I'm like, it's interesting you're reading that now because I'm like really aware and coming back to it a little bit.
Yeah, like on that, it's like things like just take a second to acknowledge and use that as an opportunity for, in that scenario, for example, to stop what you're doing, acknowledge him, and then explain, I'm busy now. Like, let's have half an hour later, but use the opportunity to actually acknowledge in the first place. So yeah, it was yeah, just the main thing for me, I was able to read it last night. Mm-hmm. That, like, I'm a real slow reader, and whenever someone goes, because we've got a book club thing, I opted out from the word go because if it was meaty, I really struggle to like get through books. So for me to recommend a book, I think that if you struggle with reading, like, not because you can't read necessarily, but because you're slow like I am, like I feel like a 2-year-old trying to read out loud.
I think you wouldn't say I'm a very deliberate reader.
I'm a deliberate reader. Do you know what I mean? So I really enjoyed it because I read it deliberately, but I was still able to deliberately read it in one night, I think, is the main thing. But I would, anyone that's got kids or looking to get kids or anything like that, I'd definitely recommend it just because it makes you aware of concepts of, like, just give them attention now, because we now, as you get older, you're like, yeah, we'll sort it later or whatever, but you don't realize that the thing it's kind of trying to say is, like, the most important part of anyone's existence is the first few years of their life, because it also quotes someone as well. It says there's like a book or something called Everything I learned in Kindergarten. So like when you're 1 or 2, whatever, you literally learn everything. Mm-hmm. I'll have to find it. I'll see if I can find it. But we'll close the show up now, mate.
But I think I'm actually interested in getting the physical book, because one thing I like about that is you folded the pages over. And don't get me wrong, if people listen to this, we haven't done it justice in terms of the impact it makes, because I think everyone will take different things away from it. Like, for me, it was about me trying to provide in the future and delaying time with them now. Mm-hmm. Change that. Non-negotiables in the calendar. That was my big takeaway. And you'll have your big takeaway. And everyone else will have their own big takeaway. But I think I'm probably going to buy the book and then do what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Take the pages out. I'm probably going to, like, or just once a month or once every 2 months, just sit and just, because you could literally go through the action pages in 5
minutes.
Yeah,
you can scrub through
that. You could literally just go through the action pages in 5 minutes and just touch base with yourself and go, well, am I actually doing this? Probably going to do that, actually.
Cool. We'll leave it there, guys. Thank you so much for watching and listening. If you want to get the book, I'll put a link in the show notes of the podcast and the video. Don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe in all the places that you receive this audio visual goodness. If you want to get in touch, email dadknowsbest@nbs.fm. I feel like I got the sign off better than I got the
opener. Way better. Way better. I'm like, he's finally warmed up to this.
Only took 30 minutes. See you later.